Welcome to Takeoff, a Points and Miles podcast by 10X Travel. I'm your host, Bryce. Today, I am joined by Emily and Travis on our side, and our special guest, Morgan, one of our 10X Travel Expert Award bookers, who we're going to be talking to, asking a bunch of questions, maybe selfishly trying to get some award booking advice for my own tips in the future. We'll see. But all those things in just a minute. But before we dive into that, I want to mention that if you are still new to Points and Miles or just feel like you could use a refresher, we recommend going back and checking out episodes 1 through 6 of this podcast, where we cover the basic fundamentals of Points and Miles. It's kind of like an audio version of our course for those of you who prefer to listen instead of read. And for any other lingering questions, be sure to join our Facebook group, the largest Points and Miles Facebook group on the planet, at currently over 350,000 members. As I mentioned, in today's episode, we have a special guest. It is one of our award booking experts, Morgan, who's going to join us and share some tips from her own travels, mastering the art of redeeming your points and miles, dear listener. And I believe that I've actually personally done an award booking with Morgan before, so I am one of you in this case, asking all sorts of questions, getting kind of the behind the scenes look at things, and hopefully learning quite a bit about cashing in those points as we go. So as we jump into that, Morgan, thank you so much for joining us today from quite far away, I understand. We're super excited to talk to you, get some of your best tips for redeeming points and miles, hear those stories. But before we do that, could you start off by just introducing yourself a bit? Who's Morgan? What are you into? Where are you from? What's kind of your introductory elevator pitch, if you will?
Yes, thanks, Bryce. I'm Morgan. I'm originally from Clearwater, Florida. I currently live in Noosa, Australia. I initially started when I was backpacking Southeast Asia with my friend Michelle, who also works for 10X Travel.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's amazing.
I didn't know that either.
I didn't know you guys were friends. How cute.
Fantastic. Nice. Can you give us an idea on the timeline of that? How long ago did you first kind of stumble into this? And also, how did you end up from Florida to Australia?
So I first started, about 5 years ago. I got the email clickbait offer for the 20,000 points, but it did turn out well because that was during COVID, so most of the travel was domestic. Southwest was great. Ended up in Australia traveling. After college, I was going to backpack. My 3-month backpacking trip turned into 3 years. I was in Indonesia if I'm going home and if I was going to go back to medical school or if I wanted to go to Australia and work. I ended up going to Australia. I loved it. I love life-work balance. I did the 2 years working holiday. I did come back to the States during COVID and now a permanent resident, hopefully staying here for good.
I don't know if Travis feels the same way after just a short stint in Sydney, but I definitely wanted to relocate to Australia after a 2-week visit.
I unfortunately can't give my pitch to Australia, but my wife has started saying that she wants to open a winery and cheesery in New Zealand. So
I love it.
Yeah. So will it happen? I don't know. If anyone knows how I can buy a vineyard and some cows with points and miles, please, I'm all ears because that's one I haven't figured out yet.
You might be looking for a cashback offer there. I don't know.
I don't think you're going to get any category bonuses on cows, but who knows? Maybe a new product coming down the pike.
Yeah, it's white space.
Fantastic. Super interested to hear more about kind of living in Australia and that whole thing. But we'll kind of come back to that. I want to dive into one of the questions that I am particularly most interested in and one that you, I imagine, get a lot after you describe kind of what you do. Can you tell us your first redemptions to where you started to feel I get this, I could help other people do this. I'm going from, I took the offer that was kind of emailed to me to I professionally help other individuals redeem their points and miles. What's that learning curve look like? And was there ever a point in which you thought, all right, I'm good at this?
Initially, when I started helping other people, I don't know if I was exactly an expert yet. I had a strong understanding of how to find award space, but I don't think I quite grasped the partners between One World or Star Alliance and then also transfer partners of each credit card and how to find space in different programs. I did probably start helping other people before I was quote unquote an expert, but it was through that where I really solidified my understanding of, and expertise and how to find that award space and where to look of doing it, I think is the best advice, and following the course, of course, but also the transfer partner cheat sheet that's listed on the website has a lot of great information of how to book what airlines through what programs, and then what programs are partners with each other. You can also compare prices and see which program is actually best to book through.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like, it's one thing to be booking your flights for yourself or even helping friends and family, but getting thrown in to helping other people. I imagine you picked it up pretty well. I know that you picked it up pretty quickly. You do an awesome job and get a ton of fantastic shout outs in the Facebook group.
I was going to say, I find my family is actually the hardest to book for. I've been trying to convince my own family to take a vacation with me, and they're located in Tampa. Their requirements are just insane. Of like,
you know, they're the hardest clients.
Don't exist. Of yeah, minimal travel time, yeah. No repositioning, or
yeah, doesn't leave at like midnight.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. Okay. Well. They really just want me to come home, but I'd love to be somewhere cool.
Yeah. Yeah, make the restrictions so difficult that the only option is for you to just fly home. Yeah. I like it. It's a tactic.
You know, we obviously kind of joke about this, right? Morgan's family, if you're listening, thank you for letting me kind of tease you a little bit. But all of those are actually, Emily, myself, and Morgan have all worked in the award booking. Morgan has by far done significantly more than Emily or I have. But I joke about that because those kinds of restrictions are things that you see sometimes, right, Morgan? What kind of like tips or advice would you say to people whenever they're looking to engage the service or do their own award searches, especially in terms of those parameters of like number of stops, layovers, repositioning, etc.?
I think the easiest thing to see if what they're looking for actually exists is just to search on Google Flights. Not that the flights on Google Flights are available with points and miles, but just to see if it's even possible to get from their tiny home airport to where they're going with one stop or two stops. It also helps find what other alternative options are suggestible. So if people were to reach out with more constricted requests and see if it's possible, but then also be able to suggest an alternative, that something that we may be able to find more award space for. But sometimes if people are too strict, it might just be better for them to book cash, but not all cash fares are available with points. So if they are super strict on times or dates and class, they might have to save their points for another time where they can be more flexible.
Yeah. And then it becomes like, is there an opportunity to use the portal? Is it reasonable? Do you have some kind of card that might offer rebate? Just like thinking of any other possibilities. But I like the suggestion of just starting with Google Flights, because it's like, can you even do that without points? Maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah. Does this flight even exist? And I did that really quickly. It took me about 12 seconds. There's not a flight from Tampa to Tokyo with less than 15 hours of travel time. So we can already scratch that one off the list.
Yeah, you can see that there's not going to be a direct flight from Tampa to Tokyo. But if you want to get to Tokyo, you can either put in Tokyo and see where to start from, or the opposite. If you want to start in Tampa, you can see what has direct flights and how to put the two together.
Find the overlap.
Flight connections is a great tool for that. I do that exact same thing. So for listeners out there, Flight Connections shows you effectively where can you fly from nonstop from a city. And so what Morgan suggested, if I heard you correctly, is if you're trying to go from Tampa to Tokyo, you can put in Tokyo to see all of the nonstop flights from Tokyo. You won't see one on there from Tampa. So if you wanted to fly nonstop from Tampa, you just know that you're out of luck. I think that's kind of the key, is like frame those expectations of what's actually possible up front to know if what you want is actually possible.
So I feel like I can already hear the voice of our common reader here thinking, wait a second, that's now three separate websites that you've mentioned just to kind of piece together the start of the search process. That sounds like a lot of work. Like, I'm overwhelmed. I have kind of like analysis bias as the term approaches you in that scenario. Have you ever been asked that sort of question where someone says, how do I even begin to approach this with all these tools and strategies to think about? and just kind of start fresh?
I think basics are great. Don't make it too complicated. And in the analysis paralysis, that there's really not too many bad decisions or mistakes. Points are meant to be used, and maybe your first few redemptions won't be the greatest, but eventually they'll start becoming more comfortable. So you don't need all the fancy tools in order to search. Just go back to the basics of know who your transfer partners are, and then know how to search award fairs on their websites.
Seems simple, yeah. Every time I start out to do it, though, I'm like, it's simple, simple. Okay, no, I'm
Warren did one for me recently. I'm going to Antarctica next year. I had found some options myself, but I was like, let me get a second opinion. And you had found connecting on Emirates' new flight from Miami to Colombia. I ended up not booking that option, but I was like, oh, I didn't even think about this one. So it is kind of nice to get that second set of eyes to validate or help show you some options that you might not have even considered. I know that's a reason why we have some people who continue to use the service, is they know how to do these searches, but they just kind of like having someone else to be a second set of eyes for them.
Sometimes it's the first set of eyes.
Well, I think the first service is pretty cool in that way, because if you do come and say, oh, I found these flights, like what else can you offer? Or what else would there be? Or can you beat them? Then you'd only pay the $50 deposit unless we do like meet those parameters. So it can just be that second set of eyes if you wanted to double check what you found and see what else is out there.
Do you, and I'm kind of putting you on the spot on this, when people come to you that way, how often does Morgan find something better for them?
I think I could do a pretty good job of, usually you're either improving flight time or points used. So usually they're pretty happy with their route. I don't think a lot of people think of repositioning. So I think that's probably the easiest tool to help people improve.
I think one of the ones that I've seen a number of times, and I'm personally bad at this, is the taxes and fees. Like, it's one of those areas that I've just never really dug into how to save on the taxes and fees. And I know I've seen a number of bookings come across where it might be the same flights, but you're just kind of advising them on, oh, well, yeah, the ones you found are the best, but you know, you can maybe save a couple $100 on taxes and fees by transferring your points to program B instead of the one you were thinking of transferring to as well.
Yeah, we just had a great example of that in the award booking chat of Pakistan is notoriously tricky for return flights. Of booking return flights from Pakistan is like $1,000 on Air Canada. Or if you book through Life Miles, apparently the taxes dissipate.
Washed away. Poof.
Yeah. Poof. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, you might know what programs generally charge less, but how many people are seeing it that often to kind of figure out, oh, here's how you can book return flights from Pakistan to avoid, you know, $1,500 in taxes and fees per ticket just by using a different program. I mean, that's a pretty substantial savings right there.
I find, at least when I was doing a few bookings here and there, determining what's better than what you're comparing to is always in the eye of the beholder, for sure. So maybe the taxes are less, but maybe the points are higher. So it's always a trade-off. And the best advice I think I could give is just be clear about what's better to you personally. If you're asking for a second set of eyes, that way we can make sure we're delivering on that.
Maureen, I'm curious if you have any advice to kind of the average person who's looking to just practice like award booking. So not to a point yet where they know which alliance to use out of Pakistan to save $1,000 in taxes, but maybe they know how to run like basic searches and they're not comfortable with maybe partner bookings for international flights or kind of like some of the more intermediate levels of skill. So do you have any advice on what they could do to practice or start to pick up that skill or maybe?
When I started, I think I made a list of all points I had and then the transfer partners they each would transfer to. And I still use that list on the Excel sheet of that I would send to everyone. I put in their points and then you can see exactly what transfers partners they have. And when I first started, I would check every single one of, and I think that's the only way to start. Of maybe you don't know that you can book the same flight through on United through Air Canada for less, but by just searching individually, you will see that. So even if it's not something you think of, just knowing the transfer partners and searching directly is, I think, the basics of the game here. There would be fancy tools that you can use, but that also negates building the skills for the just the fundamentals of points and miles, and I guess building on those, like those are the, I see it as like the fundamental blocks. So I don't know if there's any way to avoid that, of just start searching.
Going down the list.
With the partners going through the list. And then maybe eventually you'll build the confidence and understanding of the partners to develop your own system moving forward, maybe using more fancy tools if you wish.
I think that's great advice. It's, you know, people want an instant answer, right? When they're learning how to do award flight redemptions, they want it to be fast and easy. And I wish it was fast and easy. I think everyone wishes that it was fast and easy. But by taking the time, like you suggested, to just put in the work, builds that knowledge, right? Exactly like you said. If you have this system and you know that your points that you have transfer to, say, Air Canada and United, you don't have to know that they're partners and that sometimes Air Canada is cheaper in this instance. If you actually just go through the process of looking on both Air Canada's website and United's website, you'll just see which one costs less. And doing that over time is what builds that knowledge base, so that way in the future you'll know, oh, Air Canada is less, or oh, United's taxes and fees are less, but maybe more points. And it builds that familiarity, so that way next time you're looking, or maybe five times from now when you're looking, you're not necessarily having to manually check all of them, but you can put in the work to really build and develop those skills.
One other tip that you guys probably wouldn't know, but when I would have started, I also used previous like searches as to compare to, well, like my findings. So I would, if someone's request was to Rome, I would search in the emails like FCO to see kind of what Emily or Josh had already found. To But also you can do that with the Facebook group. There's so much information in that Facebook group that if you're not sure, I mean, you could also type in Rome and see who's already booked and what they booked, and use that as a comparison to like your own findings.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion. There's so much. I mean, the search function in the Facebook group is, mediocre at best, but sometimes it works, and you can pull up people's past trips and not only get like travel advice, but a baseline of how many points you should be spending if you want to fly round trip economy to Rome. And then take it from there.
Yeah, and just pay special note of the date of the post, so you're not like, yo, I got 20,000 US Airways miles and I want to fly to Paris round trip for that. It's like, not anymore. Yeah. So Morgan, I want to kind of transition to ask some questions kind of about your own travel, kind of in your, you know, your role and your experience. You're probably one of the best points and miles users really on the planet. I don't mean to put that pressure on you, sorry. But I'm curious about, like, when you go to take your own trips, are you working from like a set list of destinations? Like, does destination kind of lead the day? Like, I really want to go here, let's figure it out. Do you kind of chase the deals? How often are you running searches for like unicorn availability? And how do you just think about redeeming your own points for travel?
I love searching, which is why I love this job. So I really enjoy looking for great deals. In my own travel, I think I'm more destination driven than unicorn driven. I wouldn't be opposed to some of the bucket list flights, like the Fifth Freedom between Australia and New Zealand on Emirates. But I love ANA around the world, so I think I might have a trip. I haven't booked anything yet, but I'm probably planning to leave in the next month. So I think I'm more on the last minute availability side since I'm just one person traveling. It's a lot easier to find last minute award space. But destinations in mind, and then the best fares. So probably pretty flexible in that of I say destination mind, but it's more of like a region. So I don't mind if I'm not flying to Bali, if I fly to Singapore, that's also fine. Same with the US, if I don't need to land in Florida, I'm okay landing in California and making my way back.
Or Houston.
I would love to hear more about the round the world trip, because I know this will not be the first one that you're booking, because I remember that you posted in the Facebook group about one that you took last year at some point, maybe.
Yes, I think I did my first round the world last year, last April, May. It was the first time I had Amex points. I love Amex points. And I would love to do around the world with a friend or a partner, but so I'm like trying to think like, oh, do I save my Amex points to do this with someone? So I think it's a pretty cool experience to share. Luckily, there's enough Amex points to go around, so I think another one should be on the cards until then.
And where did you go through that booking?
On my first round the world, I went from Australia up to South Korea, and then from Japan through the US, US, Europe through Dubai, Maldives, and back through, I think, Singapore, Indonesia, then to Australia. Yeah, it's hard to beat.
No, that's
115,000 points, I think five flights and business, less than $600 in
insane.
taxes from memory.
That's just that's just crazy. Like, good
It's a single
crazy.
card bonus. Yeah, it's wild.
Have either Bryce or Travis, have you guys booked an ANA around the world?
Nope. Never.
Yeah. I mean, I booked it for someone else, but I've never done it myself. So I'm
I haven't
incredibly
even done
jealous.
that. Yeah.
I
This
would
is
love to
this
try and do that, but
I wouldn't. I would love for
no.
Morgan to do it for me.
Well, I mean
Yes.
fly it, you know. How many days were you traveling for? Did you have like a good amount of time in each location, or was it kind of like a
I
rapid
had
trip?
enough time. I think the whole trip would have been 2 months. Maybe a month in the US and then a month between Asia and Europe and the Maldives. I guess the only downside to ANA around the world is you don't have as much flexibility. I usually would just book a one-way flight and then book the return when you're
When you're
back.
ready.
Yeah, when you want. So ANA does make you lock in dates and plan and schedule a bit more.
When you do that, right? So you mentioned going to Europe. Whether this is how you do your trips or when you're building these round the world trips for other people. Because I mean, there's a good chance that you've done like the most round the world trips for bookings, like out of anyone, like which is like so crazy to think about. So I kind of want to pick your brain on this a little bit. Right, using Europe as an example, when you're putting these together, you know, what's the give and take, the balance on something like, you know, maybe doing an open jaw as part of it? And I don't even, I presume you can. I don't know enough about the around the world rules,
Yeah,
but where
so,
maybe, yeah, go ahead.
well, there's a few different around the worlds. I think Aeromexico, Singapore, ANA, and maybe even like a one world on Qantas or AA, if I'm right. Most of the around the world bookings, I think the best is through ANA, which only takes Amex points. And their around the world prices are based on distance. So that open jaw you mentioned comes in handy when trying to save points, because the trick would be to fly into the west and leave from the east, because the distance from the west to the east would not be counted in the pricing for the round the world. And that an example would be you fly into London, maybe Portugal, Paris, Amsterdam, somewhere pretty much as close as you can to the ocean. just get over the pond, land, and then you can book your own flights within Europe. And then leaving from the east side, like somewhere around Athens or Istanbul, would give you the best price for the ANA award flight. The open jaws, I'm a big fan too, because not just for the points, but it gives you more flexibility in the dates as well, as I mentioned. So you can have the best of both worlds there of, you know, you're going to Europe, maybe you don't have to commit to everything, or you can still plan what you want after, but just to have the big flights booked is handy. I would say, I think if I were to do around the world again, that it could be worth it to spend the extra from, I think I paid 115,000 and the next is 125,000 for a little bit more distance to bridge the gaps a little bit of, I think I paid for my own flight from Dubai to the Maldives, where I probably could have just spent less points in the end if I would have increased the distance without buying a separate flight. But those, I guess, are my lessons learned and helps me make better flights for you through my mistakes. So.
I could be misremembering, but if you do like an open jaw like that, it counts as an extra stopover or like one of your 8 stops on ANA. I can't remember if it.
Yes, there would be different rules for each program, but
yeah.
Something along those lines of you're allowed. I can pull up that.
The resources. You
just know exactly where to look. Yeah.
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 So
I always find these sets of rules like entertaining, how granular and specific they can be.
Yeah.
And it's like trying to comprehend them as even like someone who knows points and miles pretty well is already a challenge. So I am glad that there are experts out there like Morgan who can help us with these things.
Yeah. You have to go in one continuous direction. You can't backtrack unless you're in the same region. Yes. And then it's fine if you backtrack. And sometimes the regions bleed into different regions. And
Yeah.
It's not an easy thing to commit to memory.
So with ANA, you're allowed 12 segments and 8 stopovers, and each open jaw would count as each stopover. So stopover is more like destination rather than like our traditional stopovers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But like you mentioned, like if you're doing Europe and maybe you're wanting to do like Portugal and Paris and Rome and Athens, if you
don't want to do 5 stops just in Europe.
Yeah. It'll eat up stops and that distance. So.
Man. Yeah.
And you have to piece it all together before to book it, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, can you talk to us about like the booking process, either for your own trip or for others who have done it? Like, I know there's so many steps and backup plans involved.
Backup plans are definitely helpful. I guess I see around the world as less about specific destinations and more about the general long haul flights. If you can just find award space from Asia to Europe, or going the other way from Asia to the US, or in US to Europe, and to have a few options there, so when you're ready to call, that you have a few flights available if maybe the first flight you found isn't available anymore, then that can be really helpful. But the process would be you want to find saver award space. For ANA specifically, you can look through Star Alliance partners like United's Low Fare Calendar or Air Canada. And if you see, if we're looking for business class available on both United and Air Canada, then you know it would be available to ANA. would suggest writing down all the flight details, having a few backup options, as you said, because when you call ANA, it probably will take at least an hour or two. So to have a few options there ready and tell the agent will be super helpful in piecing together the around the world so you don't have to deal with multiple phone calls.
Yep. Yeah. The couple that I did book, yeah, that's pretty much the process. It's having backup plans. It's having options that go in the complete opposite direction that you are originally planning to go in, especially if whoever you're working with has, you know, specific spots that they have to hit. They've, you know, got a wedding in Madrid that they need to be there on this day by, but they're fine if you go east to west or west to east. So you just have to kind of be super flexible from what I remember. And it's a beast to book. So yeah, if you don't want to tackle it yourself, ask the award booking service. We've got lots of experts
when
to
you
help.
When you call ANA Morgan, do they pick up like, oh, what's up, Morgan? Good to hear from you again. Like, let's do this. Like, are you on a first name basis with any airline agents yet?
I cannot say I am. I know there, I have different numbers saved in my phone, probably way too many. And like the ANA US number versus the ANA Australia or Japan number. Because sometimes if the whole times are too long with one, I'll just call a different one.
Yeah,
more luck.
That's a good hack too.
That's pretty amazing. That's awesome. Yeah. So transitioning to kind of some more questions about like your work as an award booker, interfacing with people who are going through this process of redeeming their miles. You know, you've been doing this since 2022, I believe, which I guess right after Travis and Emily were doing it themselves. I guess I'm curious if you had any kind of general advice for readers who are going through that process, having seen it from the other side. Or to simplify that question a bit, like, what do you wish more people knew coming into this? They submit the request, you get it. You know, what do you wish that they knew going into it? And what are some kind of common stumbling points?
I've been with you since June 2022. I look forward to Mallory's piece that we'll be publishing soon on tips and tricks for the award booking service. I sent in a few tips for her, and I think the ones I would suggest to people who are interested in using the award booking service is that flexibility is great. Time is also a huge factor in helping us help you. If you submit your request maximum maybe 11, 12 months in advance, that will greatly help the success of your request. That time isn't a death sentence though. So if you do have a last minute request, we can definitely help as well. It's helpful for larger parties or people who aren't so flexible or those who kind of want the best routes, the most convenient, but the best airlines. Some other tips would be, let me read the email I have from that Mallory. One tip, I would recommend everyone join 10X Travel Plus. The 10X Travel Plus membership comes with the 275 booking credit along with some other perks, but that alone will save you money if successful with your search. We do also have the 100% satisfaction guarantee, so I think that's important for everyone to know. There's really no reason not to try the award booking service. If we're not successful or if you're unsatisfied with it, then no harm, no foul. Some other tips would be to make sure your points are transferable. There's been a few requests that we've gone all the way through successful, found flights, done availability, ready to book, just to find out that their city double cash doesn't transfer to an airline. And then just be super clear on the parameters and the best way to let us help you is for you to express what you like and what would be successful for you. Because in order for us to find flights you'd like, we need to know what you'd be happy with. And that's expressed through the parameters. So to make sure you're clear, if there's some strong preference that you'd like of maximum point budgets or duration, number of layovers, taxes, anything that you think is important to share or would be hard, yes or no, just let us know so we can really make sure we're trying to find the best flights possible to suit you.
Yeah, the clearer people can be, you know, unfortunately, we're not mind readers, and I wish that we were, you know, but I've seen a number of people who sometimes get upset once they see the options, but maybe didn't communicate that, you know, they didn't want an overnight layover or they wanted layovers less than a certain amount of time. All of these things, we've got a whole field for additional information for people to share. So any travel preferences that you have, feel free to share those. I'm sure Morgan would much rather know in advance than after you've done the work, you know, and even if it's just a preference, like, let us know that as well. You know, we want to find what works best for you. If it's a requirement, let us know. If it's just, hey, I would prefer this, but I can be flexible on it. Let us know as well. What you really don't want to happen is you don't want to become one of the questions. Morgan, I don't know if I've ever told you this story. The question about if there's any country you can travel through, or there's a question on our form, are there any countries you cannot travel through for any reason? This was many years ago. This came up because I was actually helping a friend with a booking. So this wasn't one of our clients. And it was like a multi-city U.S. to Hawaii to Korea to Japan back to the U.S. It was a crazy routing. and on the way back from Korea to Japan, the routing was on Cathay Pacific through Hong Kong. All of this, there was like four or five people in business class and somehow made it work. And then they're like, oh, wait, because of my job, I can't actually go through Hong Kong for political reasons. I'm like, come on, like this is not easy. And I'm trying to help you out. So then I said, you know what? You know who you are. You're going to end up as a question on the form in the future. So they laugh about it. I still tease them about being a question on the form now. Mm. But anything like that you can share, like, just yeah. helps us make sure that we're finding options that make you get yeah. you what you want.
Yeah, I think like one common thing that I've seen that you might not expect to submit as a preference is like who you're traveling with, because that makes a difference. If you've got kids and that means you don't want to do like an overnight flight, if you're traveling with an elderly parent and you can't walk the entire length of the Chicago airport, like these are good things to know. So you might not think of that at first when you're just submitting like, oh, I'd love to go on a trip to the Maldives. But anything helps.
Before I had points and miles, I decided I was going to save money by self-connecting. I was flying from Spain to Southeast Asia, and I saw the cheapest flight was from Spain to Iran, and then Iran to Southeast Asia. But I had no idea on the visa requirements, so I ended up booking a flight and not have looked into the visas of, I think at that time, in order to get there, you had to have a travel guide.
Mm. Oh.
So the security guard had to walk me back, like escort me back through the airport to, in order for me to make my connection, since I couldn't actually exit the airport and re-enter.
Oh, no. Wow. But it worked out okay, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. It did. Well, that's good.
Not yeah. an expert on what's it called, travel regulations.
Yes.
So that yeah. that's important yeah. to make sure.
Yes.
I look into.
Yeah, we can book it for you, but we can't predict what they're going to require of you when you get there.
I'm curious, Morgan, is there a particular award booking that you've done for somebody else as a client that you're kind of most proud of?
I'd say proud is, well, I'd swap the word proud for rewarding, because I think since I don't create availability, it's not something I can initially take credit for or be proud of. But the most rewarding award bookings are the ones where I get to help people make, you know, the once in a lifetime trip. So to spend times with loved ones before, if they have, they had cancer, or creating those memorable family holidays. So I think the most rewarding would be helping people find that award space, especially for the larger families or in tricky redemptions. That's always a nice accomplishment when you're able to kind of defeat the odds and find award space in tricky times or on tricky routes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we feel the same. It's like, that's the best thing about helping people learn points and miles. In our last episode, Michelle is doing something really cool with different Michelle than 10X Travel Michelle. But she's doing something really cool with points and miles, which is kind of like helping people who have different like travel requirements or modifications that they need. If they're elderly or, you know, have anything holding them back, then she kind of goes with them and helps them travel to places they might not have been able to otherwise. So that's been one of my favorite things about, you know, talking to other people in this space and reading all the stories in the Facebook group. And it's very inspiring for sure.
Yes.
We need to start kind of asking the follow-up of, because we do see so many of those stories, and I completely agree with both of you that that's the best thing about what we do. And now I'm curious, how many of those ultimately touched our award booking service? And like, we're actually like, you know, Morgan actually did it, but we're like, oh, we're going to trace that back. I feel like Morgan's probably powering like 30% of these amazing brags, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I do love seeing them as well when they post in a group and say, oh, whether it's a trip review or just, you know, sharing a bit of their story. It's nice to see. I know you for a while also used to share like people, reader stories when you would do the Q1, Q2, Q3 updates of touching, emails that you get. So I guess I don't see too much of the email side, but I get to see on the Facebook post when people are successful in award searches, whether it's through me or even just what points have allowed them to do. And I think that's a pretty special thing to share.
Yeah, I need to do a better job of sharing those. This TV that you see behind me, for anyone watching on video, I spent a good afternoon programming it up to like play those on loop. I turned them off during the podcast so as to not like share people's information about where they're going to be and when to a massive audience. But that brings me endless joy seeing those things on a daily basis. I'm curious to get your thoughts on these new kind of third-party search tools that are out there that everyone's talking about. I know we mentioned earlier that they can be a bit of a hindrance to learning the foundational blocks. But do you have any an opinion on the current best ones that looking at and any nuances or things to know about them?
I think I am a creature of habit, so I probably haven't tried as many as I should. I tend to stick to PointMe over PointsYeah or RoamMe. I do like seats.arrow. I know Expert Flyer is great in confirming seats if you're unsure if it's Phantom. I think they should be used in addition to those like fundamental building blocks and not relying on them. So to know you can use them like as a kind of like a backup search of do your search and then maybe see what else also exists. But to know that If you do find availability on one of those tools, that you do have to go and confirm it directly on the airline before transferring points to the airline, if you're not booking through those tools. So I think that's, if you do start using the tools, they can be really great. I love using seats.arrow it's kind of the, where can I go for the least amount of points, and you can filter between like North America to Europe or North America to Southeast Asia and just be completely flexible on dates or give it specific dates and kind of see what it comes up with. There, I have noticed there are a few routes or airlines that are often disclosed, so it's definitely not 100% accurate or a complete substitute or a thorough search, but they can be a good addition to helping you find cool space.
Speaking of cool space, do you have any favorite routes or flights or any sort of like combination of either of those things that you enjoy booking either for others or for yourself, kind of hidden gems, if you will? Ooh,
that's a good question. I mean, in Australia, I probably fly the United Polaris through Air Canada frequently. So that's my most frequent route. I think 75,000 in business is the best you can hope for between Australia and the US. I also love finding ANA and booking through Virgin Atlantic from, I guess, US to Japan for about 50,000. I know they updated their prices, so I don't know the new one off the top of my head. But that's always a good feeling when you're able to find that and help people book that one. Flying Blue has been really great lately. Of the 50K fares for more than two seats to Europe is always super helpful. I know Flying Blue also has been great in helping families get to South Africa as well, surprisingly, as an alternative to Ethiopian airline. Finding more than two seats to South Africa can be challenging, so Flying Blue has been successful lately, or a surprise. It is fun. Even after doing thousands of booking, of you're always learning or looking at new routes, or just kind of learning different things all the time, and I think that's the fun of it.
How often are you? Oh, you want to go, Travis?
I was just saying, and I just opened an Air France tab to go check to replace my Ethiopian flights to the Seychelles. Not South Africa, but close, because I'm on Ethiopian right now.
Well, I mean, I haven't flown Ethiopian, but they do have lie-flat seats, and I don't know if I completely understand why so many people have a strong opposition to them.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to it, but I do like Air France, so.
Okay.
How often are you like inspired by requests that people submit, and like you find an interesting route and you're like, maybe I'll add that to my list?
Yeah, I love the request where I have to Google the airport of like, oh, I've never heard of this airport one. Code. Like, what is this? And how do we get there? So that is cool to always explore destinations and routes. I think the most recent one, I know airport codes better than destinations. Any of you know what ROR is off the top of your head?
No.
I feel like it's right there, but not quite.
Apparently, it's in PALAU.
Ah, Palau.
Palau.
If I'm saying that correctly. Popular scuba diving destination.
Yeah, of course. I think so. Yeah. So I think that was the most recent one we were working on. I guess it is inspiring. I'm not sure if it's going to be the first destination I go to, but I do like looking at people's routes and planting little seeds in my head of, oh, like I would also like to fly this flight. Maybe take notes and keep it in mind.
Yeah.
I mean, if you find an extra award seat, you sit down next to it and be like, yo, what's up? Like,
I feel like my dream would be sometimes when the people have, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 million coins. Like, well, maybe instead of paying me, you could just, you know, give me some points or buy me my next flight.
That's a deal. I'm sure somebody would negotiate on that.
Last question for you, Becca. Do you have any just general recommendations as to who you would recommend the award booking service to, or kind of those circumstances that brings to the service, and you know, who should really be thinking about
it? Well, I think everyone should try it. I could be biased here, but I know we put a lot of effort in to trying to make it a great experience for you and finding great flights. So I'd recommend it for anyone who's maybe new to award bookings, who isn't super confident in their searches and just wants some help, either cross-checking their work or helping them through the process of booking their first redemption. Finding award space confirming availability, creating accounts, transferring points, that process. Because the other side of the coin is even for those who just don't have the time or patience of, I think we are really good and efficient at finding some great award space. So it would save you a lot of time and hassle and headache to leave it with us and trust us in finding some great options for you. I think the award booking service can help people who are stuck in analysis paralysis, since we do that for you, essentially, of look at all the options, put together the best few, and then help you through the booking process.
I think that's great advice. I mean, I think at least part of what I think about the award booking service is that if you're new, everyone should try it once, and it's meant to be kind of like a learning experience. Like, you get these step-by-step instructions for how to complete the booking yourself. So it's kind of like a prepackaged guide for you. So if the next time you feel confident, you've learned where some of the best places are to search, and you have a breakdown of here's how to transfer your points, here's how long it might take, that type of stuff, like, you can take it from there. A lot of people come back because we make it so easy. So feel free to come on back if you want to, but I like to think of it as kind of like a learning experience too.
It takes a little effort.
Yeah, there's some handholding involved.
It's one of those things that I like to tell people. There's a lot of handholding. We have good instructions that help you go through the process. It's twofold, right? We do it to help you learn, you know, and kind of go through the actual steps of booking that award flight. Otherwise, you'd have to somehow get us access to your award accounts, which probably means like sharing a password and stuff, like things that just people aren't comfortable with. I know I'm not comfortable with like necessarily knowing your password and stuff. It's just a good way. It's kind of balances both of those of helping you through it while helping to keep the customer's information secure. Well, Morgan, we've obviously had a bunch of questions and picked your brain a lot, whether it's about the award booking service around the world's ROR being the airport code for Palau. And anyone listening to this will probably have a lot of great lessons to take away from you. So thank you for sharing that. But, you know, anything else that you would like to share with anyone?
We all start somewhere and we're always learning. So wherever you are in your journey, that we can assist, whether it's finding really limited award business space, we can give it a try. Like, if you have a bucket list flight of flying Q suites or Singapore suites, Ethiopia apartments, you can send it our way. Or even just for the basic award bookings, that happy to help as well. If it's your first time and you want to go through that with someone and help find a award space, that it's kind of a place for all, I'd say.
Awesome. Well, Morgan, thank you so much for taking your morning to join us here on the podcast and sharing your experience. See you, yeah, and have a good rest of your day.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You as well.
Yeah.
See ya.
Right. Bye. Thanks, Morgan. Bye.
Thanks so much, Morgan, for coming on the podcast and sharing your experience with us. It's really helpful to get your perspective on how people can best use the award booking service. Whether you've booked thousands of award flights like Morgan or are just getting started, we've got lots of resources to help you advance your points and miles knowledge. The first one, I would encourage you to sign up for 10X Travel Plus, our paid membership program that gets you access to one-on-one consults with our pros and one free award booking every year. Next, manage your points and miles in My10X, our free tool that can help you organize all of your points and miles in one place, and check out the My10X card feature that takes out the guesswork of finding the next best credit card for your wallet. Please be sure to join our Facebook group, where over 350,000 people come together to share their points and miles knowledge, ask questions, and just build community. And of course, make sure to enroll or brush up on our free course that teaches you how to travel the world for next to nothing. All of these things are linked in the show notes or can be found on our website, 10xtravel.com. For all of us here at 10X Travel, I'm Bryce Conway. This has been Takeoff, a Points and Miles podcast, and we will talk to you next time. Thanks.